happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world in his hands, I know that there's no such thing as unplanned.
Greetings and welcome back to another edition of Livestream, your weekly dose of life. And this is Vaughn, aka the Cyber Hitchhiker, as your host this week and hopefully every week. We'll see how it goes. And this, I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, is episode 3. And I ended off last week saying I was going to discuss a little bit about sanctity of life and what it means, because the term, I don't think any of us actually realize where the term sanctity of life comes from. And it actually has nothing to do with pro-life issues even. But we'll get to that a little bit later. But being as it is today, the 21st of June, and it was Father's Day yesterday, and it was also my birthday, I just want to touch on briefly how I feel this time of year. First of all, celebrating my birthday because I'm an adopted child. And being an adopted child, I could have easily gone the other way and I could have never got a chance to live. So on my birthday, I always cherish the moments that I've had on this planet and thank my mom, my adoption mother, who has passed now, and I will see her again. She gave me the life that I wouldn't have had if she hadn't adopted me. But at the same time, being Father's Day and me losing a child to abortion, and that child would have been going into its late teens now if it hadn't been born, whether it had been a girl or a boy. So it's one of those things that is very bittersweet for me because I'm always thinking about the both of those. But for me, the most important thing is that I've accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I know that I will see my child in heaven again. I know that I'm definitely going to see my mom again. So, but just to bring this whole pro-life thing home so that you guys can see that the consequences of abortion are long-lasting. Like I've said before, it's never ever just a quick fix for something because there are repercussions. Like now for me, the rest of my life, I will always be thinking about this regardless of whether I know the outcomes. It's the fact that there's a massive hole in my life where a child would have been. And I've missed out on every single one of those opportunities to be a father. And whether I'll get that opportunity or not while I'm still here, I'm not too sure. But it's these kinds of things that have impacts on a lot of people's lives all the time that are either indirectly or directly involved, being the mother who's in crisis, the child who's being killed, the immediate family, and everything that goes with that. There are lasting repercussions in this life, but there are eternal repercussions if we are not careful with our actions.
I think abortion is basically like you taking someone else's life, because as soon as the baby is conceived, the baby starts growing, so eventually you're killing someone's life. And I don't think I would consider it myself, because if you look at it, they could have been growing up, becoming a doctor, becoming a lawyer or something, and now you're taking that opportunity away from them. Personally, I think it depends on the person as well, because like even though the law also makes the like provision for a lot of people, say for instance, like they don't have the needs to care for the child, so then they would go for abortion. So I think it's based on someone's personal opinion, but my personal opinion, it is you would be taking someone else's life.
Sommige mense voel net dit was onbeplande seks wat hulle gehad het en benodig dit om abortus te doen, because miskien weet hulle nie wie die pa is van die kind nie en hulle kan miskien nie 'n kind opbring nie, maar hulle dink aan die gedagte dat hulle die kind kan vir iemand anders gee en die kind kan iets groots bekom in die wêreld. Maar abortus is eintlik 'n sonde, want is iemand se lewe wat jy vat, en tweedens om abortus te doen is net nie reg in die oë wat soos volgens die Bybel dit beskryf nie, want dit is iemand se lewe wat jy van hom wegvat.
I don't support it. I think it's wrong to take a life. God put that life there, so you take it away. You don't have that right. In terms of health, I did life sciences at school. You know, some people say it's a cell, and no, it's okay to take it out when it's still a cell during the early stages of pregnancy, but I just see it as a life.
I don't necessarily believe in it, but when it comes to cases like rape and unplanned, then I would deem it as acceptable.
My opinion on abortion would be, for starters, I would say obviously I don't back it. in the sense of that obviously it is killing off a innocent child. And just to think of as an example, imagine that all the leaders that has done positive in the international environment, imagine when they were conceived and their parents decided that they want to abort them, then what would have happened of that great leader? So in my opinion is that each and every person is obviously born with a gift, a talent, and a very strong potential. So I would say then that if that child is then aborted, then that potential is lost. So with that said, would I would like to be aborted if I was in that case? Obviously that would be a no. So I would take it as this. I was in that place, would I want to do it to the next person, child, or that? So that would obviously be a no. So that's just my take on abortion.
Yeah, abortion I could write him. Ngoba uphakathi kokuphila nokusweleka and futhi ayikho right for abantwana abancinci bakhuphe izusu. Kufuneka umntana amgcine umntana wakhe ungakhuphi isusu ngoba ungasweleka kanye zinkokheli zangomso ezi wena uzibulalayo. Kufuneka sakhe isizwe sethu sizogcwala ngabantu.
It's something that is wrong in our country. We not allow that thing, you know, that because that's why there are doctors, there are professional people who can help people. There are institutions, kind of girls what can go and deliver their babies. So in the eyes of God also, you know, I think it's the wrong thing that abortion should be allowed in any country.
Right, so before we continue on live stream here on Good News Community Radio on 93.6 FM, let's just recap on how we ended last week's episode where I ended off with just briefly explaining about a biblical worldview and a secular worldview based on what we've spoken about regarding morality and ethics, and man being the center of one set of morals or ethics or principles, and the other having God at the center. And that is a very simplified way of looking at what the difference is between a secular and biblical worldview. I also mentioned a few synonyms on immorality that are dictionary-based. Criminality, delinquency, depravity, dereliction, illegality, lawlessness, misconduct, misdeed, transgression, wrongdoing. And I basically said, doesn't this sound like a lot of the scriptures in the Bible that speak about sin? And it does. And we can't get to sanctity of life if we don't understand where we're coming from. So, I mean, there are certain social norms, and we've touched on this briefly as well, that have been shifting drastically in the last couple of years. And that is why these topics are so important, but also highly controversial at the moment across the globe. And I mean, they shouldn't be. Speaking about sanctity of life, the environment, gender roles, sexual morality, homosexuality, marriage, definitive truth, not progressive truth or relative truth, but definitive truth. And all of these are trending worldwide in a lot of different movements. We've also got CSE that is being brought into the schools, which is Comprehensive Sexuality Education. Let's get back to live stream, and we are focused here on life. And I said I'm just going to discuss briefly what the sanctity of life is. So let's just look at, and this is just briefly, what does that mean? Sanctity of life is a theological term applied uniquely to humans, which denotes the symbolic relations between God and humanity. The term has its roots in Genesis 1:27, wherein God created man in his own image. And this scriptural passage does not mean that God is in a human form, but rather that humans are in the image of God, in their moral, spiritual, and intellectual nature. Thus, that is how we are mirroring God's divinity in their ability, or our ability, to represent the unique qualities with which they have been endowed, and which make them different than all other creatures. And we are different than all other creatures how? Through our rational structure, our logos, our complete centeredness, our creative freedom. We have the possibility of self-actualization and the ability of self-transcendence. God only referred to his creation as very good after the creation of man. Another clue that humans are special is found in the intimate way God is with us and how he made us. And we can see this in Genesis 2:7, where the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. Everything else God just spoke into being. But with man, God took his time to form him with his hands and then breathe his own breath into us. And then he watched us come to life. I mean, wow, that is deeply moving to me. It shows you his love and the care he took. So what does it mean to believe in the sanctity of life? The phrase sanctity of life reflects the belief that because people are made in God's image, Genesis 1:26 and 27, human life has an inherently sacred attribute that should always be protected and respected. While God gave humanity the authority to kill and eat other forms of life, Genesis 9:3, the murdering of other human beings is expressly forbidden with the penalty of death, Genesis 9:6. Humanity was created in God's image, but sin has corrupted that image. There is nothing inherently sacred in fallen man. The sanctity of human life is not because we are such wonderful and good beings. The only reason the sanctity of life applies to humanity is the fact that God created us in his image and set us apart from all other forms of life. Although that image has been marred by sin, his image still is present in humanity. We are like God, and that likeness means that human life is always to be treated with dignity and respect. Sanctity of life means that humanity is more sacred than the rest of creation, if we simplify it. Human life is not holy in the same sense that God is holy. Only God is holy in and of himself. Human life is only holy in the sense of being set apart from all other life created by God. Many apply the sanctity of life to issues like abortion and euthanasia, and while it applies to those issues, it applies to so much more. The sanctity of life should motivate us to combat all forms of evil and injustice that are perpetuated against human life. Full stop. Violence, abuse, oppression, human trafficking, pornography, prostitution, and many other evils are also violations of the sanctity of life. And that is why I'm pushing so much for people to understand I don't like the term pro-life. I'm not a pro-lifer. I uphold the sanctity of life because the Bible and my God tells me to. Pro-life is just a term. So, like I was saying, beyond the sanctity of life, there is a much greater argument against these things. And the greatest arguments are these. In Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all of your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others." In these commandments, we see that our actions are to be motivated by love for God and love for others. If we love God, we will value our own lives as part of God's plan to do his will until it comes about that his will is better served by our deaths. And we will love and care for his people, Galatians 6:10, Colossians 3:12-15. We will see to the needs of the elderly and the sick. We will protect others from harm, whether from abortion, euthanasia, human trafficking, or other abuses. While the sanctity of life can be the foundation, guys, and this is key, love has to be our motivation for everything that we do regarding sanctity of life issues. Right, so we're just going to run through just briefly a few stats on abortion before I continue into celebrating murder. And this is just rough stats to just keep you guys informed and keep reminding you of what is going on regarding how many babies are being killed every year worldwide because of this terrible scourge that has been made legal and ethically okay in our eyes. Right, so we're not going to get too deep into stats, like I said. I just want to draw your attention to, it's now June, 21st of June. We just celebrated Father's Day yesterday. And anyone has access to this. You can go to, I mean, most people use Worldometer quite a lot to check up on stats of COVID and everything like that at the moment. But do yourselves a favor and go and check Worldometer right now as I'm talking. You can Google it or type it in your phone, Worldometer abortion stats, and have a look and see for yourself what that meter is saying. At the moment, I believe it is sitting on 20 million babies that have been aborted this year so far in the first 6 months. And that figure should be ticking over at more than one baby a second if you're looking at it on your phone or on your computer screen. But do yourselves a favor and shock yourselves a little bit by checking out these stats and see how crazy it is. These are basically just children who happened to be conceived and now are unwanted, perceived to be unplanned, and are killed. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it there for now. And for South Africa, getting it closer to home, we have mentioned this in the past, we do about 260,000 abortions, which I think can probably go up about three times than that because of our stats being so crazy here in South Africa. But we'll stick with the government-related stats, 260,000 babies aborted every year in South Africa. And on that note, that brings us to the beginning of what we've been preluding to, and that is celebrating murder. And as always, I always have to ask the question, how do we as Christians approach these topics in a progressive world? I mean, the world that we live in now, there is no absolutes. Everything is progressive and everything is relative. And that is how you know that we have come to the end of civilization as we know it. When we are routinely calling good stuff evil and evil stuff good. And we celebrate and we promote that which is wicked. And guys, this for me is the big one. When mainstream media fully gets on board with something and starts promoting agendas, then you know that things are spiraling out of control in a big, big way. So consider this story that was promoted in the media a while back. And I like to use this story. It's not too old. It's from the end of 2019. And it caused quite a stir when it was released. And the title of the article is, "Choosing Murder is a Woman's Right. I Don't Regret Exercising Mine." And the jarring paragraph is basically this. The procedure itself was relatively painless. I pointed the gun, I pulled the trigger, and that was it. When it was over, I was offered a cup of tea and a biscuit by my supporters. And then my mum took me home. 10 years later, I think about that murder with sadness, but not regret. I will never regret my decision. I've done so many things and had so many opportunities that I may not have been able to do with my husband. I have run a business, lived on four continents, and I'm studying a master's degree, and I intend to keep on studying. Right, so I did take the liberty of changing a few words in that paragraph. But here is the otherwise perfectly true story and the actual version of events. And the actual quote is this. The procedure itself was relatively painless. I was given a short-acting anesthetic that kept me awake but unable to remember exactly what had happened. The last thing I remember is going into a surgical theatre-style room and wearing a special gown. When I woke up, I was offered a cup of tea and a biscuit, and then my mum took me home. 10 years later, I think about my abortion with sadness, but not regret. I will never regret my decision. I have done so many things and had so many opportunities that I may not have been able to do with a child. Wow. I've run a business, lived on four continents, and I'm studying a master's degree, and I intend to keep on studying. Since it happened, I've had to live with fear and guilt for doing something that was and still is against the law. This should not have been the case. I did nothing wrong. Now, this article was printed in a couple of Australian and New Zealand publications. It's crazy because in her area, it is illegal. So she had to travel to another county in order to have the abortion. And when she got back to her area, she was basically ostracized by the community because they were a pretty much pro-life county and have pro-life laws in place. So please explain to me the difference between these two accounts. The first one where I spoke about someone killing someone with a gun and the actual account of the mother aborting her child because she didn't want it. I mean, let's say a married woman has a controlling and or a paranoid husband. He refuses to let her into the paid workplace and he insists that she stay at home and be a good homemaker, depriving her of all her dreams to make it big as a career woman. She is at her wit's end and does not know what to do. Finally, it occurs to her, if I can just get rid of this burdensome and parasitical man, I will be free to do my thing. So she goes out, she buys a gun, and the rest is history. In both cases, a human life, guys, was viewed as an impediment and an obstacle to making it big as an adult, as a student, and as a career woman. So some of you might think that is being a bit selfish, and depending on which way you're looking at it, it can be selfish for a number of reasons. For me, it's the excuses that just keep on coming to basically justify your actions. I mean, how does killing an unborn baby because of concerns about the world being overpopulated, which is one of the arguments, differ from a eugenist who kills thousands for the same reason, because they're trying to create a better and stronger human race? So you get rid of the weak. So isn't that a good reason as well? Doesn't the end then justify the means anyway? I mean, what about poverty? So many people suffer in a world of shortage because we have too many people. Well, at least that's what they say. So the loving thing to do then is surely to bump them off in the womb. I mean, yeah. And again, why not take it to the next logical conclusion? And I'll end with this today and we'll pick it up again in episode 4 next week when we come back. Suppose you live in a rundown apartment with 11 other people, and it is really tough trying to pay the rent and feed everyone on top of that. Maybe the best course here is to murder a few of these people. I mean, hey, it's for their own good, you know. I mean, they will have no more starvation or suffering. So that is taking care of them. And it also makes my circumstances better at the same time. It's a double bonus. Now, guys, I'm going to leave it there. That's a cliffhanger, and we'll pick it up right there. I'll leave that as food for thought to you, for you to think about. And we will see you guys again next week for another edition of Livestream, your weekly dose of life, where we discuss all the things that most people don't like to talk about. And hopefully we get to educate you guys along the way. And as I'm learning, I really, really hope you guys are learning. Because for me, this is a hard journey. But it's the journey that we as Christians need to walk if we are to mirror our Savior and let His light shine in our lives. So this is Vaughan, aka The Cyber Hitchhiker. We would like to thank you again for tuning in to Good News Community Radio, 93.6 FM, the station that gives you hope. And we will see you guys again next week for live stream, your weekly dose of life. This is Vaughan. God bless and goodbye. Oh, I don't believe in accidents. Miracles, they don't just happen by chance. As long as my God holds the world.